Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Coops will bring a message entitled, The Plan, based on scripture found in John 20, 19 through 31. This is Beth Coops, inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service.
Good morning. What a blessing to be together in God's house to worship and praise the living God. Good to be back with you. We weren't gone long, but we can truly say that when we're not here, we do miss you folks. And so it's always nice to come back too, and glad you're still all here too. And there must have been a memo in the bulletin or something that we're a very traditional church and it would be appropriate to wear hats. I see some have followed through on that. And it just looks wonderful. I love it. I hope this catches on. And if you need to know more about that, they asked me not to say anything, but just talk to anybody who's wearing a hat, and they can clue you in about what's happening later this week. I think it's a pretty big event, and you don't want to miss that. Having said all that, we're glad to be together to worship and praise the living God. I know 2 weeks ago was Easter Sunday, and that has an enthusiasm and a passion and excitement all of its own, but actually every day is Easter Sunday. We're always serving the risen Savior. And because of what he did, there can be joy in our hearts, and that's why worship is also a celebration. If you're visiting with us today, we're just really glad you're here, and we hope that you're blessed this morning, that this is a meaningful time together, that God just touches your heart, and that you also experience warmth, hospitality, feel welcome. If you're a first-time visitor, we'd like you to sign the guest book. It's right through those doors, a little shelf off the wall. Just sign that legibly is really nice, and we'll send you a little card during the week and say, hey, we're glad you were here. And we invite everyone to stay for coffee and refreshments after the service. We do that downstairs now. Three ways to get downstairs, that way, and right here. If stairs are a challenge, there's a lift through those doors. But we invite you all to stay. Fellowship is really part of worship, too. Our God is a relational God. And we already see that in the Trinity and then his relationship with us. And he wants us to have these kind of relationships with each other, to enjoy one another. And so we again invite you to stay for that. We want to greet all of those who join us through other means. So that would be Jethro Radio over the internet, jethro.fm. We're on YouTube, and also people still get CDs. And we're thankful for those ways to reach out to people and hope that you're really blessed through the message and through joining us in this way. And then we also want to mention to you that if you join us electronically, but if you're able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family. And I know it's pretty scary to go someplace for the very first time and wonder, what are they going to be like? What do I wear? Who do I sit with? Is there assigned seats? All of those questions. I assure you, all of that will dissipate when you walk through the doors and feel warmth and hospitality and people greeting you and saying, hey, we're just glad you're here. And so we invite and encourage you to take that risk if you've never been here before and come and be part of our church family. We meet Lifetime Sunday mornings, 9:30, and we're right on Burton Street, north side, just west of Clyde Park. We'd love to have you be part of our fellowship. And then I want to invite you all back this afternoon. There's a big deal going on this afternoon. That's at 3 o'clock. It's a music appreciation program and hymn sing featuring our own Paul Kirkstra and lots of other people. And if you've probably seen this in the bulletin too. There is just so much stuff here about solos, duets, trios, quartets, twin pianos, organ piano duets, trumpets, snare drums, Bagpipes, guitar, full choir, men's chorus, ladies' chorus, congregational singing. There is something for everybody. So we hope that you come back this afternoon, because the Lord delights in our praise, and then we can worship Him and praise Him. And of course, afterwards, coffee and cookies are always on the house. So we invite you to stay for a time of fellowship as we gather downstairs for that time. The God we worship is a triune God, known as a Trinitarian God. And so our call to worship emphasizes that. Let us worship the eternal God, the source of love and life who creates us. Let us worship Jesus Christ, the risen one, who lives among us. Let us worship the Spirit, the holy fire who renews us. To the one true God be praise in all times and all places, through the grace of Jesus Christ, equipped by the Holy Spirit. Let's worship this God, standing to sing number 45, Crown Him with Many Crowns. 45. Let's pray together. Yes, You alone are worthy of being adored and glorified. And we just sang, crown Him with many crowns. And we want to do that because that's to show our praise and our adoration and our love for You. But we also know when You're already born the King, we can't make You one. Thank You for being the King of our lives, and thank You for adopting us as Your children and also as part of the family of God and the members of Your kingdom. And so we worship You gladly, because of who You are and what You've done, and we are the benefactors. And that's why there's a song in our heart that can sing, crown Him with many crowns. We ask Your Spirit to be present here with us this morning so that this time is meaningful, so that You are lifted up and praised, but that we are strengthened and fed for the journey ahead, knowing that we belong to a risen Savior, in whose name we pray, amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 372, Our God Reigns. Amen. That's a good thing never to forget, that our God reigns no matter what we see going on in the world. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, I just want to give you an update on our church family. And this week we want to remember Pam Van Beek in prayer. She's having an angioplasty with stent replacement, and that's this Thursday. So keep Pam and her husband Joe in prayer during that time. And then we want to pray for Mark Kirkstra, Paul's son. He's scheduled for cancer surgery this Tuesday. And to tell you what a trooper he is, he's part of this afternoon's program. He's an important part of the program, and it's really special for father and son to do this together. But he scheduled this cancer stuff around the program so he wouldn't miss this today. So we just want to acknowledge that and thank him for that, and also just look forward to this afternoon as you get to play together. And we want to remember Brian Bruxford. He's a missionary that we support. They're part of aviation mission in Alaska. And, you know, he's also dealing with cancer. And then they flew down to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, and they've got diagnosis. Now they're waiting to see what the treatment is going to be. And so Brian and Elizabeth asked for prayers. And then as a church family, we extend our sympathy to Deb Jacobson and Cindy and Gordon Ralph in the passing away of their father, Bob Yonkers. Bob died early Saturday morning, And we know that Bob is with his Heavenly Father. He had no fear of dying. He knew Jesus was his Lord and Savior and was assured of where he was going. But saying goodbye is always hard to those we love. And so we want to remember this family in prayer. At this time, all arrangements are pending. But when we have details, we'll certainly put it out on our prayer chain. It'll be on our Facebook page, and you can always call the church office as well. Let's come before our God of our congregational prayer. God of glory, fill your church with the power that flows from Christ's resurrection. So that in the midst of this sinful world, it may signal the beginning of a renewed humanity risen to new life in Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Our God reigns. Oh, the joy that is ours today as we celebrate the empty grave and realize that death no longer holds us captive. Oh, the freedom that is ours when we willingly confess those things that really build walls between you and us and between us as people. Give us repentant and remorseful hearts to show gratitude for what you did by accepting the gift of forgiveness. And in all of this, may we hear your voice that says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's our prayer for all peoples, to know you and to know your peace. As Bible reading is being promoted in our nation, may it stir hearts anew. Father, there's many that have never opened the Bible. And we pray that they might be drawn to it and read the richness of the Scriptures and to meet you there in such a way that they know you are for real and that you are the God who changes lives. You're the only one that can give true purpose, meaning, and hope, not just for now, but also for the evermore. We know there are many who have never known peace. There are many who have never known the absence of war and oppression. Our prayer is for this broken world. To that end, we also pray for our president and all who serve with him. We pray for our servicemen and women and for their families that wait at home. We would ask for your grace, for your leading, your guidance, that there could be some type of peace treaty in the Middle East. We pray that too for the Russia and Ukraine. And then so many places around the world where there's constant turmoil. And our Father, our ultimate request would be that the outcome would be that these nations would be open to the good news. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Without him, we can never know real peace. You also invite us to bring our needs before you, and as well as our thanksgivings. And Father, you've heard and answered so many of our prayers. You've dealt kindly with us. There's been other times when the prayers weren't answered as we had hoped, but you gave strength for the journey because you are a faithful God. And so we come to you again this morning and we lift up these people before you asking for your blessing, your strength, your presence in their lives. We pray for Dorothy Bartlett, Ford Burkhorst, for Charlie, for Pam Van Beek, Brian Cripps, Steve Verstrat, Betty Holmes, Mark Davis, Brian Bruxford, Ron and Barb Engels, Mark Kirkstra, Shane Sweeney, Ruth, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Cindy Ralph, Doug Pueller, Lorraine Strading, Larry Rudnick, and Tim C. And then we know there's others undergoing tests, waiting for results, scheduling appointments, doing all that stuff. Every week is full. Our prayer is that you will always be present, that you will sustain, surround, uphold. Fathers, only you can do that. And in these situations, may we also be your agents in doing that to each other. A phone call, a prayer, a card, a visit, to be there, to encourage one another as you invite us to do. And then we pray for our shut-ins. We ask your blessing on Robert DeYoung, Fran Schuling, and Roger Simmons, and ask that even this day they would too experience a Lord's Day blessing and know that they belong to the family of God. Lots of people deal with emotional needs, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, dementia, Alzheimer's, all these things that are just really cruel, all these things that can steal the joy, all these things that make life hard. And then we know that lots of folks deal with addictions of different kinds, things that keep them trapped. We think of the prisoner. We ask for your grace for them. And then we also know there's what we would call stage of life losses. Things that once we did and did easily and didn't give a second thought now become really hard. And sometimes we wonder why. Why? And so we come to you and we ask for your grace for the different seasons of life, to accept where we're at and to know that our value comes not from what we can do, but from the one that we belong to. And that's our prayer, Heavenly Father. That's our prayer. We pray for those in hospice care, Carol DeCavers, Mel Vander West, and we pray for Connie as she stands beside him. We pray for family members, for those who are on hospice care, so that you give them strength too, physically, but also emotionally. And then we ask your comfort for those who are grieving. Today we remember in particular the Yonkers family as you called Bob home. Thank you for the assurance that without reservation you were his Lord and Savior. And so we can celebrate his going home. And now we pray for your comfort, your strength, your peace for each family member as they walk this road. We know that there's many people dealing with the loss of loved ones. Sometimes it's recent, sometimes it's from a long time ago. But the pain is still real because there's an emptiness. And we know that you're the God of all comfort and you're the resurrection and the life. You're the one who gives us the hope within us. But sometimes we just really miss feeling that hand, hearing that voice, seeing the eyes. And so we pray for your continued grace as you sustain folks on their journey. And when we grieve, it speaks to relationships. We grieve those we love. And relationships are a gift from you. And so our prayer is help us to do relationships well, to see how important it is and to move us to build strong relationships in our personal lives, to have strong marriages, be it 20, 30, 40, 50, 52 years. Father, we know that that's a gift. We know that when marriages, when it works well, it's a wonderful blessing. And when it doesn't, it's really hard. So we come to you again for strength, for your wisdom, for your leading. And so we pray for all folks, those who are married, those who are dating, those who are maybe looking to date, Father, that you would give them wisdom and lead and guide so that we build strong relationships. May that also be true in our church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Move us to love one another as you first loved us. Thank you for the church. And as the church, teach us how to be salt and light where you have placed us. We ask for the outreach of the church and even this afternoon for this musical appreciation and hymn sing. May your spirit be present so that first and foremost you are glorified, you are honored, and then through it we are blessed. And then we ask your blessing on mission work, the Bruces serving in California at Hawaiian Gardens, the Vlassens as they train missionaries in many different countries, the Bruxfords in Alaska, the Jensens in Japan, and Lord, we also pray for the voice of the martyrs as they minister to those who are persecuted because they profess Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord, for 8th Reformed and all who call this their church home. We pray that the church universal would see that your word is the authority. That's where the church gets her authority. And will you fill our hearts of peace that comes from being in a right relationship with you, the Prince of Peace? You give peace not as the world gives. And we offer this prayer in your name, Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping God by standing to sing number 365, Alleluia, Alleluia, 365. You may be seated. Dear congregation, I want to go back with you this morning to a resurrection passage which is really filled with important information. And I struggle with this every year because Christ's resurrection is such a big event, and it often feels like we move on so quickly. It was Easter Sunday, and now, well, let's get back to normal business. And so I want to go back, at least this morning, to John 20. It's page 1546 in your pew Bible. And we'll read from John 20, chapter, our verses 19 to 31. It's part of the resurrection story. It fits in with Easter Sunday. John 20, verse 19. Hear the word of God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah,
the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. May God add His blessing to this holy and inspired word. The reading starts with, on the evening of the first day of the week. It's Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter Sunday. It was significant because it became the official day of worship. It really replaced the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, with a day of rest, and moved to the very first day of the week. And there's examples of that. I'll share just a couple. One is in Acts 20, verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, this is with Paul, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Okay, so they were met together, and they were also having communion. I'm going to read another little part that doesn't really pertain to this. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking till midnight. Sometimes you've said, I go a little long. We have never gone to midnight. I just thought I'd add that in. Elsewhere, it's known as the Lord's Day versus my day. Do you see where when we say it's the Lord's day, we surrender it to Him. It's His day. If it's my day, I get to do what I want. I get to pick. I get to choose. I get to decide how I'm going to use it. Another example, Revelation 1. Verse 10, and this is the Apostle John, the same one that wrote the Gospel of John, and at this point he's in exile on the island of Patmos. And John, Revelation 1, verse 10, it says, on the Lord's day, I, John, was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice loud like a trumpet. See, Christ's resurrection is the reason that we are here today and not yesterday. This is when it all changed. This became the day of celebration, the day of rejoicing. Now, some other information that just really struck me as I was working on this passage, and what we think is important and what Jesus thinks is important seem to be different. Just bear with me on this, because this is where my mind went. If it was possible for me to come through what Jesus had gone through, when I caught up with these guys that I called my buddies, I probably wouldn't have started with, peace be with you. I would have been more like, that was brutal. Unbelievable pain and agony. When my Father forsook me, unbearable. Words can't describe it. You know you guys did me in. Talking big around the table in the upper room. But when we got to the garden, where'd you all go? You were petrified. Big talkers. Scared when it came to doing anything. Yeah, Peter, you said you would never deny me? You weren't so brave at the high priest's house, were you? Girl scared you. Wow, Peter. And then Judas, that viper. What a pitiful betrayer. Seeing Mom, making sure she'd be okay, was so hard to watch her watch me suffer. You know, the women were a lot braver than you guys. At least they stuck around. You don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. You guys are so dull. I did this all for you. I got to admit, the resurrection part and coming out of the tomb, that was pretty unbelievable. And yeah, the guards, oh, were they scared. They acted real brave at first. They were like dead men. Here we are. To me, that would be human nature. That's how we would respond to this. But Jesus comes into the upper room, seemingly out of nowhere, right? Because the doors are locked. They're scared to death. They're still dealing with all kinds of fear, because what do the Jewish leaders come for them next? And out of nowhere, suddenly he's in their midst and he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, this is not the first time he has said this. He had extended to that earlier, even as a foretaste of what was to come. And so I want to go back to Maundy Thursday, okay? What we're talking about in the upper room, that would be like the Sunday night. So back to Maundy Thursday, we were here on Maundy Thursday, we had communion, Pastor Mark did the service. And so if we go back to Maundy Thursday, there's a lot of teaching in those chapters, 13 through 17, that Jesus just loaded up. And in John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid." See, He alone can extend that kind of peace to us. And this is why. True peace has to do with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the source of true peace. If that relationship is in order, we have peace in our lives. Why can Jesus offer this peace? Because on the cross, He was able to say, "It is finished." What was finished? The atoning work, where He bridged the gap between God and us. That relationship that was severed already in the Garden of Eden when God had to drive Adam and Eve out of the garden. That's when the relationship was broken. But Jesus, when He said, "It is finished," He bridged that gap, meaning the atoning work between God and us was complete. How was this symbolized? You know the story, the veil in the temple, that big curtain, was torn from top to bottom, because that way they knew it wasn't human hands that did that. And that curtain had always separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And now it's wide open. The symbolism is so powerful because now we have the permission to come into the presence of God. All through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We need no other intercessor. We need no one else except Jesus to come into the presence of the Heavenly Father. That's why He can offer us peace. It has to do with the relationships. So when Jesus extends peace to us, that's way beyond an absence of fear. His peace is a serenity, a calmness in our hearts. The Jewish people have a word, shalom. It means things are well. A sense of wholeness, of tranquility, of harmony, of completeness, of being together. A quietness within. No anxiety or restlessness. God offers this often. You know, in the Old Testament, Psalm 46:10 is a beautiful verse where God, it's a very short verse. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." In other words, He's saying, like, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Why don't you experience peace in your heart? Do you feel you're running the universe? Do you feel it all depends on you? Do you feel you have to keep everything in balance? Be still. Be still and know I am God. I am God. I manage all of this. Romans 5:1 even explains it in a very beautiful way too. Again, Paul writing. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified." You know the word justified, when you break it down, it really means just as if I've never sinned. When you say you're justified, you're like, yeah, God sees me as completely clean, pure, covered in the blood. So, therefore, since we've been justified through faith. What's faith? Faith is God's gift to us. When this stuff makes sense to you, you can thank God that He's opened your heart, that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, and say, "Yes, I believe this stuff. I believe this stuff." So through faith, we now have peace with God. Isn't that incredible? That the God of the universe, the God, you know, we've had some bad weather here, right? God also controls all of that. He's the one who spoke all of this into being. His power is awesome, and he's the one that promises now that we can have peace with him. We don't have to be scared of him. And how does all this work? It's that last phrase. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It always comes back to Jesus. He's always the central figure in all of this. That's how we have peace. And as we have peace with God, subsequently, we also can have peace with each other. So back to John chapter 20. So in the passage we read, there's actually two stories there, okay? The first visit and then the second visit. But in the first visit, Jesus extends peace twice. He says, peace be with you. And then he gives the marching orders. He says, here's the mission. There's work to do. This is the plan. Verse 21, if you still have your Bibles open, I encourage you to have them open. I encourage you really to bring your own Bible so you can write in them. Anyways, verse 21. You can write in the pew Bibles, but then you got to sit in the same seat every week. I see most of you do. Verse 21, what does it say? It says that as the Father sent me, in other words, as the Father sent me, being Jesus, so am I sending you. Okay, here's the plan. So am I sending you. So first Jesus extends us his peace, and then he says, here's the action plan. This is what we're going to do with it. So what does this mean for us? See, there's always two levels we can read these stories at. One, we can read them and say, well, that was quite something. That'd be a special night for those disciples. Or I can read it and say, yes, that was real meaningful to them, but this is also relevant for me. This also speaks to my life. This also is relevant and pertains to how I live. So what it really does is it prepares us for the Great Commission. Another way to put that is, we don't know these things so that we can hide in our homes, hide in the barracks, hide in the church. But we know these things so that we can be familiar with the Great Commission and what that instructs us. And you know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus, the last things he says to them, we find in Matthew 28, before he ascends into heaven. And he says to them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We often know that. But then it also says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's why it's so important to know the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, as well as all of Scripture. But to teach people to obey what he taught. This isn't just to head knowledge. This is behavioral. How are we going to live this out? And then he says, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, for them, that was what? Like 40 AD. Now we're at 2026, and at this moment, we're not at the end of the age yet. We could be in the next moment, but right now, we are not. So, I'm moving back and forth between this passage on Sunday night, Easter Sunday, and Maundy Thursday. The night he was betrayed, he was already preparing them for this moment. But they didn't understand it. And we can't be too hard on them because it makes sense. They wouldn't understand everything that was happening. But John 17, 18, Jesus referencing the Father says, as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Right? God sent Jesus. Jesus sends us, right? Not just to sit here, but he sends us into the world. And maybe you're wondering, with what? Well, he's sending us with the message, the good news. The Messiah has come. In Christ's message, peace is always central. And what is it that we really crave in life? If you're a mother, you've said this. I heard my mother say it lots of times. All I want is some peace and quiet. And Jesus promises us peace. And he says there's a way to get it. Christ's message, peace is central. And he is all about peace. You know, it wasn't that long ago. We're four Sundays before Christmas, right? We called it Advent. And we looked at Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can give us peace. The night he was born, the Luke 2 story, remember the heavenly host? What did they say? Be peace on earth and goodwill toward people on whom his favor rests. Jesus alone can give us peace. We can look for it in lots of different places. We're never going to find it. We'll stay busy looking. Because the next thing always seems to promise, this might be it. But it never, never delivers. Jesus alone can give us real peace. And that's the message we are also called to spread throughout the world we live in. And in essence, he is the message. We must never forget that. He is the message. So his peace, I just want to reiterate this. His peace is not sitting comfortable. His peace isn't, oh, I got it all together. His peace is not successful living and I'm living out the American dream. His peace is a condition that he purchased for us. It's a condition he purchased for us. I quote Lutzer. Some of you know Lutzer, listen to him, Running to Win. He's read lots of books. He was a retired preacher out of Moody Church in Chicago. I quote him. He says, peace is not always dry-eyed. It is sometimes mingled with tears as we experience the tragedies of life. It is not a state of tranquility where we deny everything going on around us and just pretend that everything's okay. It is a peace compatible with a funeral. It's a peace that's compatible with tears and the heartache of a broken marriage. It's the peace that trusts and knows God will work out all things for the good of those who love him. That's the peace. That's the condition. And Jesus says, peace I give you, not as the world gives. That also tells us that the world offers peace, but it's fake. It's not real peace. And then listen to John 16, verse 33. Jesus speaking to the disciples, this is still the night in which he was betrayed. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. The next line we don't like. In this world, you'll have trouble. I have overcome the world. We can have peace in him. But our peace in him does not mean we won't have trouble. We'll have trouble in the world, but he has overcome the world. So in this world, we are his ambassadors. And that starts at home. And then in ever-widening circles, this is our mission. This is the focus of our activity. First, we worship and praise him. He deserves our glorification and our honor. But then we do education. We do that through our own devotions. We do that through Bible study, be it gathering together, Bible studies at church, be it Bible studies in our neighborhood, Sunday school. Because what did Jesus tell the disciples? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, if we're going to teach anything, we have to know what we're teaching. And that's why it's important to do Bible study. I just encourage you. First, if you're not doing devotions, at least 15 minutes a day. But if you are doing devotions, step it up a little bit. Spend even more time in the Word. Find a place where you can go to a Bible study. Participate in Bible studies here. Spend time to know more about this Jesus that we call Lord. What's all this about? For training. Training so we can disciple and mentor people. And yes, here's the scary stuff, so that we can engage the culture. We're called to be salt and light And that means engaging the culture, standing up for what is right, knowing what is truth. And when we know Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we know him, we know these things. He says, now, be my ambassador. Be strong. We are the sent ones. But to be effective, just like with the disciples, we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives the disciples a pledge of what Pentecost is all about, and that they will need to wait 50 days to get the Holy Spirit gift. But the Holy Spirit is promised to all his followers. And sometimes we think the Holy Spirit just lives in the Pentecostal church. And that's really sad if that was true. But maybe we have kept him on a back burner rather than praying that the Holy Spirit would fill us and give us courage and boldness. Because what does he say? He says, I'm your teacher. I'll convict you, I'll teach you, I'll instruct you, I'll comfort you. In essence, he'll be all things to us as we have need. And it's promised everybody, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Well, they couldn't list everything, but I'm thinking that includes Wyoming, Grand Rapids, Kentwood, Jenison, Granville, Hudsonville, Holland. Maybe some of you think, well, the ends of the earth, that would be like, you know, Upper Canada. But in our own area, that's what we are called to do. And I just got to say, verse 23, because some of you are reading that and saying, I don't understand how that makes sense. It raises a question about if you forgive people, their sins are forgiven. And that's been a little bit of a confusing verse for different people. But what it really speaks to, if you look at it closely, is that when people need forgiveness of sins, we point them to Jesus. That's really what it's about. And that because we know him, we know what will be forgiven and how it works. And so in essence, don't let that verse throw you off. Just remember, point people to Jesus. It's only through the shed blood of the resurrected one. So like I said, there's two visits in this little passage of John 20. And on the second visit, we meet Thomas. And this is why he's known as Doubting Thomas. Okay, there's lots of good things Thomas did, but the only thing they remember, it's just kind of like in life, right? You mess up once, that's the things people remember about you. Thomas, one time, he wasn't sure, known as Doubting Thomas for 2,000 years. But Jesus, in his second visit, he addresses it right away. And you know, it's like Jesus knows all things, so he says to Thomas, and I'm thinking this had to be uncanny for Thomas. Jesus says, hey, Thomas, why don't you stick your fingers in my hands? Why don't you put your hand in my side? And Thomas, well, how do you know this? And that's what he does. And at that point, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He professes who Jesus is, his Lord and his God. And then Jesus says to him, blessed, because you have seen me, you have believed. Okay, because you have seen me, you believed. And then the second part of that verse is really rich because it speaks to us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We weren't there. We couldn't put our fingers in Jesus' hands. We couldn't put our hand in his side. We're the ones that are blessed who have not seen but believe. And then you might say, well, believe what? What are we believing? And what we believe is that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the resurrected one, that his victory is our victory. That's the blessing. That's why we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. In him our lives have purpose. In him our lives have meaning, satisfaction, fulfillment, joy, hope, and yes, peace. In him we have peace. Verse 31 summarizes the whole passage. This is what it's all about. We have life in his name. He is our only comfort in life and in death. The good life can only be had in Jesus Christ.
Jesus is all we will ever need. He is all we will ever need. Believe this truth. Live in its power, but also live in its peace. Be blessed. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the resurrection story. What an amazing event. We kind of grew up with it, so we're familiar with it. But it's beyond anything that ever happened in all of history. And we are the benefactors. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Oh, Father, if there's any here that don't believe, would you touch their hearts this morning in such a way that they can't resist, that they have to humble themselves before you and say, my Lord and my God. Thank you for being such a loving God, even as you entered the room with the upper room and said, peace be with you. May we hear that in our hearts and in our lives too, the peace that only you can give. We thank you again for the whole plan of salvation. You made it all happen. You made it all work. And because of that, there's a joy and a song in our heart, and we have security, not just for now, but for all of eternity. And that's our prayer for all who gathered here, for all who join us in other methods, that your Spirit would touch them so that none would miss out on this blessing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 370, Rejoice, the Lord is King. 370, standing to sing. You may be seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and all the gifts that you bestow upon us. You're an abundant God. But thank you for trusting us to be stewards, and then that you give us the privilege of giving back. That offering is also worship. And so give us joy in doing this, and then will you use these gifts in any way you see fit for the furtherance of your kingdom, when you will at one time reign in all your fullness as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. We pray in your name, amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 358, verses 1 and 3, Because He Lives. Receive God's parting blessing. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.